Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. It is time for our Halloween episode here at Nerd Cave Retro. My name is Jay Spooptacular, Jason Robbins.
And I'm just Derek Diamond. I have no witty Halloween or horror themed nicknames, so just me.
You're Derek, let's see.
I'm Derek, first guy to die in the movie Diamond.
Yeah, I like it. That's the good one. it is the Halloween 2022, and it's finally upon us, and it felt like it snuck up on me this year, even though it's been a really good spooky season, been watching a lot of horror movies, playing horror games, just came up so fast.
I feel like the first half of October, I don't want to say it went slow, but it went at kind of a pretty good pace, and then it just... like, you wake up and it's Halloween.
Oh, I know.
The past 2 weeks have flown by. I don't know if it's just because I've been so busy with work and, you know, trying to get the movie done and working on all the promotional material for it and everything, but these last 2 weeks especially, they've just, it's been insane.
Yeah. Did you get a pumpkin? I literally bought the last pumpkin at the grocery store last. We went to 4 grocery stores. They were all out of pumpkins, and I got there literally the same time as this other guy, but I walked in before he did and grabbed the last pumpkin. And then I heard him just be like, damn it. And he like grabbed his phone and was talking, I guess, to his kids, like, couldn't get the pumpkin, honey. I'm like, hey.
See, I was thinking you were going to do like a Peter and the Giant Chicken from Family Guy, just have this huge battle royale
I thought it was going to happen because he did not seem happy that I got the last pumpkin in the store.
But hey, I mean, that's just the luck of the draw sometimes. No, I did not get a pumpkin. We did get some new Halloween decor that we put up, you know, towards the middle of towards the beginning of the month, really. We've got you know, a couple of signs throughout the yard. We found these small like skeleton arms that we have coming out of our flower bed you walk up to the front door of the house. So we added to the decor this year. It's Halloween's, you know, one of our favorite holidays, so we always go all out to decorate for it. So
I didn't want to make the same mistake I did last year. I carved the pumpkin too early. I don't remember what day Halloween was on last year. Do you remember? Happen to remember what day it was on?
I think it would have been on a Sunday. Let me Let me look real quick.
I think it was on a Sunday. So that means I think I
carved... Yep, it was on a Sunday.
Yeah, I carved my pumpkin on Friday. And by Saturday afternoon, it was pretty much a rotten, melted mess.
I remember you telling me about that, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing it till I get off work Halloween evening. And I'm going to... So we're recording this a day early. We're recording this on Sunday and Halloween. Actual Halloween is tomorrow. So I'm going to get off work. I'm going to come home, eat dinner, and then carve the pumpkin so that it'll be nice and fresh to show the trick-or-treaters, if we get any this year.
It'll be good to have a nice chill night for Halloween. We don't really have trick-or-treaters here, which is weird because we have kids in our neighborhood, but I've never had any in the... you know, 5 years that I've lived in this house.
Yeah, we have a bunch of kids. We have a bunch of kids here at the apartment complex, but they don't really do much trick-or-treating in the apartment complex here, like in the neighborhood that's outside of the park. Like, we're buried at the back of a really nice neighborhood up against a bayou. And in the neighborhood, it's like, it's kind of middle to upper class. And people kind of go all out. We got this one guy in the neighborhood that he has to have spent at least $10,000 on decorations for his yard. It's ridiculous the amount of stuff he has. But there's a lot of decorated yards and stuff. So they do a lot of trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. They just don't come into the apartment complex all that much.
We're the only house really that decorates for anything, even with Christmas. We're one of, and you've seen the neighborhood I live in. We're like one of two houses that decorate for Christmas.
Well, you are in Florida, so most of your neighbors are probably like 1,000. I mean, Florida is God's waiting room, you know.
Thanks.
But what we decided to do for this year for Halloween, we like doing the top five list. They seem to be our most downloaded episodes. And this year we're gonna do top five horror games. So we sent out the call and got a lot of people gave us their top five lists. But we do this like normal, and we're not going to do news or game history tonight. We did get some news tidbits, which ones I do want to talk about next week, that Bethany Fox, our community manager over on Discord, sent us an article. But it was big news this last week about the voice for Bayonetta. If you follow along that story, it's been a huge hubbub on Twitter, and I do want to talk about it. But we're going to save that for next week so we can talk about it a little bit. But tonight, we're just going to dive right in, and we start off with me and Derek doing our top fives, and Derek starts us off with his honorable mentions before he dives into the top five.
Yeah, so only two honorable mentions for this top five. Two good ones, though. One is Castlevania, which I reviewed a few weeks ago here on the show. I've played the original off and on over the last few years, ever since we've started doing this podcast. But this was when I really got to dive in and really see what the game was all about. Liked a lot of aspects of it. I liked the universe that it's set up in. Controls are pretty good. As I mentioned, you know, using Simon Belmont, it's almost like you're walking through molasses.
Yeah, but you get used to it, though.
You get used to it. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But overall, really liked the game. But it just missed the cut because I didn't grow up with it. You know, some of the games that are above it have a little bit more value to me. And then Ghoul Patrol, which is the sequel to Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I still enjoy the game. I like the first one a little bit more, but I'll talk about that in a little bit.
I have a bit of shame when it comes to that game. As much as I love and sing the praises of Zombies Ate My Neighbors, I've never played Ghoul Patrol.
You should.
I know I should. I just have never gotten around to it.
That can be, you know, when we do Halloween Horror Month next month, that can be a revisit. We can revisit Ghoul Patrol.
Yeah. Because Zombies Ate My Neighbors did end up on my honorable mentions list. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Gotcha. Yeah, so... yeah, Ghoul Patrol is still a good game in its own right.
But do you want me to go and do my honorable mentions before we jump into the actual top fives?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, I got four honorable mentions because these games are just too good to ignore. And one of them is questionable whether or not it's classified as horror, but we'll get there in just a second. At my first honorable mention comes Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare. One of the best extra content for a video game that's ever been produced. I remember I played through Red Dead Redemption. I loved that game. It was one of the best games for the Xbox 360. And then they came out with Undead Nightmare. And it just turned that whole game on its head. And just, I had so much fun playing that expansion. I can't sing its praises enough. I wish they would do a remaster of that.
I think it would sell really well if they did.
I think
did.
So, too.
I remember when that came out, it was almost as popular as the original game itself. Like, that thing blew up like crazy.
And it probably made that game sell another million copies, at least, because of that expansion.
Because everyone loves zombies.
And coming in after that, we have a game that's been remastered recently, but I still haven't gotten it yet. I want to, but I did play the original on the Xbox 360, Alan Wake. If you've never played Alan Wake, it is a cross between like a John Carpenter movie and, Twin Peaks, like that whole vibe. And it's about a writer that's sort of like a Stephen King type of character. And it's set in the Pacific Northwest, so you're already kind of creepy with that kind of setting. And it's just something you need to play. I don't want to get too much into it because there's a lot that could be spoiled. But the way the game mechanics work with the flashlight and all that kind of stuff, the use of light in the game is something that's really set it apart. And I hope people are taking advantage of the remaster because that game is well worth it. 100%.
I've never played Alan Wake.
Oh, it's so good, dude.
I want to.
I know you would get into it. I really think you would.
That's kind of what scares me about it, because I have an addictive personality when it comes to certain games.
But it's not that long of a game, though. I mean, I think you can get through it. It's probably, you know, 6-7 hours probably to get through the whole thing.
Okay.
And I'll give it a shot. After that is, of course, Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PS1. I haven't played this in years, but it still does end up there on the honorable mention list for horror games because it was the beginning of the whole Metroidvania kind of genre. I mean, it just completely, it's the granddaddy of that genre. And if you've never played it, it is 100% worth the playthrough. It's pretty rough, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I still need to play that one as well. Horror games are, again, as I mentioned, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I'm still getting into them. So hopefully over the next, you know, year or so, I can play more and, you know, have more to say about these games.
Yeah.
But there are some that I like.
And then coming in at dead last in the honorable mentions, and I don't mean dead last, but the reason I put it on here last is because I don't know if you could say it's a horror game, but it's got horror elements because there are jump scares. It's very atmospheric. It's very moody. It's BioShock. And I, you know, recently played through it again not too long ago to review it. I played it originally on the Xbox 360. The original BioShock is still one of the best first-person shooters ever made.
I haven't played BioShock in a long, long time. I would classify it maybe like horror might not be its primary genre, but it's like horror movies. There are subgenres. Like you've got your horror comedies, you've got your, you know, horror thrillers. Mm-hmm. So I would call it like a subgenre of horror. So I personally would count it.
I mean, the first time you come up across a big daddy in that game is one of the most terrifying experiences you will ever have in a video game.
Yep.
Hands down.
Totally agree.
But that's the end of my honorable mentions, and now we can go ahead and do our lists, if you would like to go first, sir.
Sure. So my number five is a game I reviewed last week, Resident Evil. Really liked the game. I wish I had conquered my fear of horror games when this came out. Otherwise, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But I liked the fact that it was different than really any other game that I played. You know, everything from the storyline to the camera cuts, whereas I mentioned you're almost kind of looking through a security camera, mm-hmm. which offers a very unique perspective. I like the characters. I like the boss fights. The ambient noise really kind of sets the tone, and I'm glad they didn't go with like a fully orchestrated soundtrack, because that would have taken away from the game, in my opinion. So Resident Evil, again, much like I was talking about with Castlevania, I didn't grow up with it, so otherwise it probably would have been a little higher, but it does make the cut at my number five. My number four is Castlevania Circle of the Moon, which is for the Game Boy Advance, was actually a launch title for the Game Boy Advance. This Castlevania, I reviewed this, I think, last year mm-hmm. for Halloween Horror Month. It's part of the Castlevania Advance collection you can get on the Switch. Really like the gameplay. It takes that core Castlevania concept and really brings it into a more modern feel as far as the controls and everything. The characters move better. The controls are tighter. Storyline is classic Castlevania. It's really like they updated the original game for more modern audiences. So I personally really like it. And I think the Castlevania collection and the Advance collection is well worth it to get it on the Switch.
Yeah, I think you can't go wrong with the Castlevania collection. You know, or any 2D side-scrolling Castlevania game, they're all above average.
Mm-hmm. Coming in at my number three is one of the more fun horror games that I played. I reviewed this a couple of years ago, Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem for the GameCube. And what was really cool about this game, one, I couldn't believe it was for the GameCube for the same reasons Resident Evil was for mm-hmm. the GameCube. But what I really liked about it is that your character can be affected by the environment. Like, you start to hallucinate and you start to, you know, go a little crazy. So you have to really be aware of what you're doing and be safe and aware of your environment. The storyline plays out just like a movie. And I think it would be really cool if this game were adapted into a movie. It would be one of those that people would look at it and say, oh, this is a cool storyline, and then they wouldn't even know it was based off a video game.
Really surprised that they haven't brought this game back as a remaster or, you know, even a new game.
I would love to see a remaster, whether it's for the Switch or if it's for, you know, the PlayStation or Xbox. Like, I would play a remaster of this game because I think it's that good.
And I think we're entering the era of remasters. Because pretty much every remaster that they've put out the last couple of years have done so well. I think that a lot of game companies are going to start reaching back into the well. And it doesn't even have to be games that did gangbusters. I mean, as long as you put out a game that was good and maybe it didn't get that big of an audience at the time, but it's gained a cult following. You know, games that were later in the life cycle of, you know, say the PS2 or the PS1 or original Xbox or the GameCube, especially. You go back and there's a lot of games that were really good but just didn't have, you know, that huge audience, but they've gained a cult following. Even those games would be good to do remasters of.
I think so, too. And this would be one near the top of my list because I think people would really get into the uniqueness of the gameplay.
Yeah.
And like I said, the storyline is great too. So that's what I look for in a video game is a compelling storyline.
There were a lot of games from this era, you know, that weird in between era, that N64 PS1 era where there were a lot of good games, but
the graphics left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, they looked a little terrible, so they could really do for a makeover and, you know, modern controls and things like that.
Coming in at my number two, and this isn't really a horror game, but it includes ghosts,
yeah.
So I'm putting it in the category. Luigi's Mansion for the GameCube is my number two. Still one of the most underrated games of all time, in my opinion. Yeah, it's short. You can beat it in a couple of hours. but it's fun. You get to play as Luigi finally gets the spotlight. And what do? You put a Ghostbusters style twist on the Mario universe. I've been playing through this game again over the last few days. Still a lot of fun. It's one of my guilty pleasure games. Like, it's one that I can hop in and just instantly, you know, I can remember what to do. I remember where all the ghosts are. It's really, really fun. And people knock it because of its shortness and the fact that it's almost like a side quest type of game, but it's really not. And I commend Nintendo for doing something different with, you know, a popular character.
Yeah, and just because a game is, you know, cartoonish spookiness doesn't necessarily mean it's not a horror game or, you know, a game that you would play for the Halloween season. You know, it's kind of like it's like the Disney horror type stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you go back and you watch those really good old Disney Halloween cartoons. It's kind of like that level of spookiness.
Yeah, and it's got a cool storyline as well. You know, it's with the twist of fighting Bowser at the end when it was alluded to that Bowser had been killed.
Yeah.
But it turns out, but spoilers, it turns out to not really be Bowser, but it is what it is. But yeah, Luigi's Mansion is my number two. Number one is Zombies Ate My Neighbors for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. One, who doesn't love a good running gun?
Oh, yeah.
Second of all, the plot is just so silly. And everyone loves zombies. And yeah, it's a game that, much like I mentioned with Luigi's Mansion, you can dive right in and you can figure it out pretty easily. This is another one, and I feel like this is a recurring theme with what I'm talking about. A Zombies Ate My Neighbors movie in the style of Zombieland would be great.
I think so, too. That was what drew me to this game in the first place when I was a kid, because I'm probably seen screenshots of it in various video game magazines, but it was really, I remember going to Blockbuster to rent a game for the weekend, had the Super Nintendo, and I saw the box art for this game, and it just screamed at me, please play me. And I rented it that weekend, ended up loving it so much that I just went and bought it. Like, then after I took it back to drop it off at Blockbuster, I think I may have went right next door to the Kmart and instantly purchased it.
What I like about the cover art is that it looks like something you'd find in the $5 DVD bin at Walmart, but that adds to the charm of it.
Exactly. I mean, it's such a play on those crazy 1950s and 60s horror sci-fi movies. Like, they, you know, they were cheaply produced and weren't very good, but there was something special about them. And this game just really took that and ran with it.
Oh, 100% agree.
And I think you could technically say that this game is a dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Because you kill enemies, you get loot, you're mm-hmm. rescuing town people, and it's that three-quarter overhead Zelda-style view. I think you could technically classify this game as a dungeon crawler.
I would say so.
But yeah,
that's my top five.
Coming in at number five on my list is a game for the Xbox 360. And this is a game that needs to have a remaster, because this game was so good when it came out, but it did not do that well. And it has gained a cult following over the last decade or so. Is Condemned for the Xbox 360. And if you never played this game, it is sort of, it's a first person, not really a shooter, but you play an investigator, and you're investigating, you know, murders and stuff. And you're using all this equipment to, you know, figure out what's going on with the story as it unfolds. And then as you get further and further into the game, stranger and stranger things start to happen. There's some creepy stuff that happens in this game. Like, there's a whole part where you're in a broken down department store, and there are mannequins that move and chase you throughout the store. And there's one particular jump scare in this game that I almost ruined my TV over. There's a part where you're, I don't think you're, I think you're going into the sewers, but you're kind of going through this underground tunnel area and you're going down further and you come across, you can do things like check in lockers and things like that. Well, you come across this thing of lockers, and normally you can open up the lockers and get things like health packs and things like that. But this one particular time, I opened up the locker and a zombie lady lunged out at me, and I was not expecting it, and I screamed and threw my controller at the TV. And I had to save the game, stop it, and go sit in the living room and watch cartoons for a few hours.
I don't know that I've ever been so scared of a game that I've thrown my controller at the TV. That must have been like some pretty heavy emotional trauma.
It's one of those games that's, it's really tense. Like, it just ramps up the tension. And then when that happened, I lost it and just threw the controller. Completely independent of any thought. It's just, as soon as that happened, I threw the controller without even thinking about it. Because I was playing it in the dark, like in the middle of the night. And when that happened, I was like, I'm done. I got to go watch some Looney Tunes or something.
Looney Tunes, some Animaniacs, like every single family-friendly cartoon you can think of.
Coming in at number 4, of course, is Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I never played the Sega Genesis version, played that Super Nintendo version, owned it. Wish I still had my copy. I wish I still had the box for it. And because, I mean, just the box copy of that game is worth so much these days. Because, of course, it was one of those games that wasn't that popular, so they didn't make that many copies of it. So if you have a complete in-box copy of Zombies Ate My Neighbors, you've got something expensive on your hands. But that game is so good. We already talked about it. If you love kind of that just weird, wacky horror sci-fi stuff, and it's sort of like a dungeon crawler, I think if you've never played it, you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a game you can just dive right in and figure it out pretty quickly, and you'll have a lot of fun with it.
Coming in at number 3, another game that scared the crap out of me because it is so atmospheric. And talking about Resident Evil with no soundtrack, this is another game that relies on ambient sounds, quiet moments, tense moments, just the sound of your environment. Dead Space.
I've been wanting to play this game.
If you've never played Dead Space, I'm going to tell you, you need to prepare yourself, because this game is, it's intense.
So I should turn every single light in the house on?
Yes, I would. It's one of those cool games, and the reason I think that, because you don't use, the weapons that you're using are like tools, basically, because you work in space and like you work on ships and things like that. So the weapons you're using are actually tools, and you have your health meter is actually this thing on your spine. So there's no HUD or anything like that. There's nothing to get in the way of the environment that you're seeing. And it's something else. I would love to dive back into it. I wish they would do another. I think they're doing some more Dead Space games, honestly. I think you'll enjoy it.
If I have every light in the house on.
Yeah, exactly. Coming in at number 2 is, of course, Castlevania for the NES. It is the original, side-scrolling horror game. It is, you play as Simon Belmont. You take on all the famous monsters. Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, Medusa. How can you not love this game and everything that it is? From the music to the atmosphere, it is one of the top 10 best NES games there ever was made.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those just iconic, not just horror games, but video games in general. And there's, the concept of it is just so cool. Like you said, you get to fight all the classic movie monsters. Who doesn't love that?
And it's frustrating. It is definitely a frustrating game, but it's not the type of game that you will give up. Like, you just want to keep going and try to do better the next time. Because there is unlimited continues, you know, you do kind of start, it's not punishing to where it sends you like all the way back to the beginning of a level when you die. You just, wherever you die, you start back over, you know, at that, wherever level you're on. So it's not overly punishing, but it is pretty tough, and it takes years to learn how to defeat that game. But I highly suggest, if you've never played the original Castlevania, do like me and Derek say, go get the Castlevania collections.
Yeah, because then you can play all of them.
All of them. And who could have guessed my number one is... I didn't write it here, but it is Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2.
Resident Evil 2.
My favorite game on the N64. I played it so many times. It's ridiculous. I played the remake as soon as it came out in 2019, one of the most perfect horror games ever constructed in history. This game is so good. If you've never played it, I cannot recommend Resident Evil 2 enough, especially the remake. You just have to experience it. It's well worth whatever it costs, because you basically get two games in one. You play as Leon and Claire, and there's two storylines going on at the exact same time, and both storylines kind of affect each other, and one of the most epic endings to any video game. Just go get it. Go play it. Perfect for Halloween.
It's going to be one that I review for Halloween next year.
You have to.
For sure. It's going to happen. Good.
And before we go into your top five horror games, we have patrons, and Derek does our shout outs.
As always, we like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Daniel Salmon, Tyler Watson, Axblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, aka I Am the Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mike Eveland, Jack Eveland, Joey Image, and Donna Diamond.
Mama thank you Diamond. All so
Mama Diamond, yes, for sure. Yeah, thank you as always for helping keep the lights on for us here at the show. And if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, you get early access to our fun commentary tracks, which we've done a huge variety of those throughout the years. Anything from full movies like Transformers the Movie, Clue, Christmas Vacation, animated shows like Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, Sonic the Hedgehog.
We've done live a lot action of shows like tracks.
We have. I'd be curious to go through and like list all of them.
We've done
that
at
we've
least
done.
Probably 30. I'd say at least.
Yeah, we've done a lot. I'd be curious about the ratio from, you know, movies to cartoons to. Mm-hmm. I know we haven't done a lot of live action shows. So that might be something we need to rectify. But regardless of what we do, we have such a fun time doing those commentary tracks. And you also get access to the exclusive Nerd Cave Retro News Dump show that you and Wally host when big news stories comes out. I know we've got a little bit of a lull when it comes to huge gaming news right now, for the most part. But wherever big stories come out, you guys just hop out and pop out another one of those episodes.
Yeah, they don't take much to produce, but we're just waiting on some nice, juicy news to drop.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, get early access and exclusive access to those, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Are you a coffee lover? Do you sometimes need that little extra boost for some all-night gaming sessions? Well, you should head over to brezcoffeeco.com. They have so many different flavors of coffee, doesn't matter what type of coffee you like, they got you covered. Try the Good for Gaming Roast, or the Two Hardies One Ship, which is a rum and dark chocolate flavored roast. Not to mention, they keep their seasonal flavors all year long, like the Fall Spice or the Sweet Tooth. They can even add flavors to your coffee. So whatever you need, head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the code NCR for 10% off of your order. And up first, we have our good friend Armez Jackson with his list, who likes to send us lots of news articles and has made my life significantly easier over the last few years since he's jumped on board. He sent us his list. He says, tough list, but I'm glad I haven't thought about some of these in a long while. And his honorable mentions up first is Chiller for the arcade. Did you ever play Chiller in the arcade?
Mm-mm. I did not.
It is a light gun game in the arcade, and you basically kill torture victims in dungeons, and it's a pretty crazy game. I think they did an unlicensed NES port for it, but it is not very good. I would suggest if you ever try to play this, try to find an arcade version of Chiller.
I feel like that's the case more often than not when it comes to arcade games.
Next is Alien Isolation for the Xbox 360. I still haven't played that yet. I've almost pulled the trigger a few times on a copy of this game because I've seen some Twitch streams of this game, and it looks pretty jump scary.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of gameplay of it, and yeah, I would say I agree.
And up next is Splatterhouse for the arcade. I never played the arcade version of this game, only the TurboGrafx-16 version, which I did enjoy, and I did for Halloween Horror Month, I think in 2020 I did. Not last Halloween, but the Halloween before I think I did Splatterhouse.
That sounds right. I will I'll confirm.
And then the last up on his honorable mentions is Friday the 13th for the NES, which I will say that game's not great, but I have always said this about that game, is that there's a good game in there. They just did not have the technology to pull it off the way they could have at the time.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, it could have been a really good game. I still think if you made a Friday the 13th game, you could make it into something really cool if done properly.
If they could do a proper remaster of that particular game, but make it a little easier to navigate the game, like where you're supposed to go, where you're supposed to do, make the weapons a little better. I think if you were to do like an updated version of that particular game, I think it could work. Because like I said, there's a good game buried in there. It was just bad technology. They didn't have the technology to pull it off.
Yeah. I agree. And you did review Splatterhouse in 2020.
Okay, yeah, FYI. Yeah.
FYI.
And for his official list, at number five, we have another one, Condemned for the Xbox 360. He knows what he's talking about. Number four, Dead Space. Number three, Resident Evil 2. Number two, Shadowgate. I can't believe I forgot to put Shadowgate on my list. That should have been on honorable mentions.
That's the thing about these top five lists, is that like you think you've got your list down and then you read everybody else's and you're like, man, why? That should have made the cut, or at least made the honorable mentions.
I'm retroactively putting that on my honorable mention list. Like that game, I did a review of it a few years ago. It's one of my favorite NES games. It is so good and atmospheric. And to be a point-and-click adventure on the NES, it was done very, very well. And I highly suggest that that is a game you should play in the month of October. And for number one, I almost put Silent Hill 2 on my list, but I couldn't even get through the game. but for him, it's Silent, the original Silent Hill for PS1. I never played the original Silent Hill, only Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, I haven't played the original Silent Hill either. I want to. I enjoyed the movie. So I have to see how the game is.
We'll have to see how that remaster is of Silent Hill 2 is as well. I don't know if I'll be able to get through that one either.
Yeah. Let's see. Next up, we have, of course, I Am the Rampage.
Rampage.
So you know how on Cameo you can do like little messages from celebrities?
Yeah.
If Michael Buffer is on Cameo, we should get him to do than intro for Rampage. That would be amazing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. His honorable mentions are Super Castlevania 4, which I reviewed for Halloween Horror Month a couple of years ago. Ridiculously hard to me, but I still enjoy the game.
Yeah.
That was kind of my first real foray into the Castlevania world, was playing that game.
That's a hard game to jump into as your first Castlevania game.
Yeah, I like to dive right in sometimes. Let's see, Dead Island is on his honorable mentions as well.
Good one.
Until Dawn.
This is a game I've been wanting to play. I just haven't pulled the trigger on buying it yet.
And then his last one for honorable mentions is Bloodborne.
Bloodborne? I don't remember Bloodborne.
Yeah, I can't say that I do either. His number five is Splatterhouse, which we just talked about. Number four is Doom, which I'm surprised that hasn't been mentioned yet, because like that has horror elements to it.
Oh yeah, this is a PS3 game, I believe. It came out in 2015, Bloodborne. I remember seeing the cover for this game. I never played it though.
Number three, The Last of Us. I should have put that in my honorable mentions. I really like Last of Us.
I haven't played it yet.
It's got a really good storyline. I think you would get into it. And I want to go back and play it before the show comes out. Mm. The show looks really good. Let's see. Number two is Dino Crisis 2, which I don't believe I have played that one.
I don't think I have either. I do remember the Dino Crisis 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that one. I've never played either one. And then number one is Resident Evil 7, which he mentioned in the chat last week.
Resident Evil 7 is great, but it's gross. It is a disgusting game.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet, so I can't really comment.
If you do, just know going into it, you're going to feel like stuff's crawling on you while you're playing that game.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. and next up, we have Bethany Fox, our community manager over on Discord, who we love very, very, very much and can't thank him enough for everything he does for this show. And he says he doesn't play horror games, but the one he likes are, at number one, he has Alien Isolation. Number two, The Evil Within. Number three, At Dead of Night. Number four, Among the Sleep. And five, Soma. I don't think I've played any of these.
I don't think I have either. But more stuff for us to look up and potentially play.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they sound cool. I've just never played them. I guess I missed a few games here and there. And for his honorable mentions, he says, Emily wants to play SCP-087-B in the park. I've never heard of that. Says, I've watched gameplay of all these games from start to finish, and they're really good games. 1 through 5 are very atmospheric and are extremely good. I've never heard of these.
I've heard of Emily Wants to Play. I haven't heard of the other ones, though.
Emily Wants to Play. That sounds vaguely familiar.
I don't remember that much about it. I recognize the name, but I couldn't really tell you anything about it beyond that.
Hmm. I have to check that out. It sounds familiar. I'm just going to have to go look it up.
From Mr. Joey Image, his honorable mentions are Until Dawn, Fear, Amnesia, or is it Fear is one, and then Amnesia, Dark Descent, or is that one game?
I'm not sure. Until Dawn, Fear, F-E-A-R, I think that might be one game. Fear, as I know, I've heard of Amnesia, Dark Descent. I don't know if that's Fear, though.
Yeah, it's
because I had
Fear, Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Okay, I had some trouble copy and pasting this stuff out of Discord, and it made it really weird in Google Docs. So I apologize for the way these ran in here.
Okay, so Fear is its own game, and then Amnesia, Dark Descent.
Okay, yeah,
is another game. Okay, and then the seventh guest, which you've talked about on the show in the past.
It's another one that should have ended up on my list. I love The Seventh Guest so much. I have so much nostalgia for that game.
I'm going to read his list backwards because his number five cracks me up. Resident Evil Village, Friday the 13th, specifically the Commodore 64 version. He notes that it's an awful game. Silent Hill, The Last of Us, and his number five, he says, if The Last of Us can be on a horror list, so can this. Days Gone.
Oh, of course Days Gone is going to be his favorite. He's on, what, like his 10th playthrough at this point of that game?
I love that. That makes me happy.
And that probably should have ended up on my list, too, because Days Gone really is a really good game. If you've never played it, I suggest getting a copy of it and playing it because it is a cut above the rest.
Whenever I do play it and want to review it, we should bring Joey on and we just do a Days Gone, like, huge discussion.
I think we should, because there's points in that game where you can get in trouble very easily because you're going after, they're not zombies. They're more kind of like rage virus type zombies. And you can get overwhelmed very easily because they travel in packs, which are called hordes, of like hundreds of them. And if you're not careful, then you have to be very strategic in the game because you will get your ass kicked in this game if you're not careful when you're taking on these zombies. Well, they're not zombies. They're freakers, what they call them, freakers.
I'll have to keep that in mind when I play it.
Yeah, because
I will actually, eventually.
Because you in the game, you can make things like Molotov cocktails, like these bigger, like where you get like, you know, those old like moonshine jugs, things like that. You can make Molotov cocktails out of those, and you have to be very strategic. When I play this game, I just trail around in a giant circle, throwing Molotov cocktails and grenades into the hordes of zombies and try to run past like propane tanks and things of that nature and gas trucks to try to take out as many as I can, because there are certain times in this game where you have to do things in a, you know, an abandoned town, but there's, you know, a horde of like 1,000 freakers that you have to take care of before you can do what you need to do. And it is horrifying, but it's fun. And I can't stress enough how cool that game really is.
I can't wait to play it whenever I get the chance to.
And last but not least, we have Mr. Tyler Watson, the fact checker to the fact checker himself. He says, I'm a bit of a wuss, so I haven't played a lot of horror games. And at number five, he has Doom for the PC, which, yes, Doom is always welcome on any horror game list. Doom is the original Mac Daddy of hell, going through hell in a first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And at number four, Luigi's Mansion for the GameCube. He's going after your list there, Derek.
Yep. No, love Luigi's Mansion.
At number three, the Darkstalkers series. I do not remember Darkstalkers, do you?
I don't either, no.
Let me look this up real quick, because it sounds familiar. Darkstalkers.
I do like the name, though.
Darkstalkers, Wikipedia. It looks like... Is this a... Yeah, this is... they have it back... It goes all the way back to the PlayStation. Looks like a very Japanese anime-inspired vampire type thing, which looks kind of awesome, actually.
That's cool.
I like it. Might have to check that out. And of course, number two, Super Castlevania IV for the Super Nintendo, which is basically you reviewed it. It's basically a remake of the first game for the NES, but given a definite upgrade, but it's also very, very, very hard.
Yes. Not Super Ghouls and Ghosts level.
Yeah.
I prefer Super Castlevania 4 to Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
I'm surprised nobody put Super Ghouls and Ghosts on there, or any Ghosts and Goblins or Ghouls and Ghosts on their list.
That game scarred too many people to make any list.
Well, it's one of those games that, like, number one, it's way too hard because it's basically meant to be a quarter muncher, that game. And then you get through the game, you finish it, and that's not the end. You have to go through the whole thing again to get the true ending of the game. That in itself is horrifying.
Because every gamer wants to do that.
Exactly.
After they beat the game, they want to go through the whole thing again to actually beat it.
Imagine if you played... Skyrim, which like 200 hours people put in. What if you got to the end and it was like, this is not the end. Your quest has just begun and you have to go through the game again.
There'd be a lot of broken TVs around the country.
That would suck.
Yeah.
And
including one of mine.
His number one Resident Evil Director's Cut for the PS1. Very good version of that game. I'm not sure if the director's cut is, if they did, or when they did the remake, the 2002 remake, did they do a remake of the director's cut of the game? Because I know there's several different versions of the original Resident Evil.
I'm not sure. Let me look that up.
I know there were some where you could play, you could start out at the beginning playing either Chris or Jill, and then there's other versions of the game where you start out as Jill, but you kind of cross back and forth between her and Chris, but I don't remember which version is what.
Resident Evil Director's Cut for the PlayStation Store. It seems like they're two different versions. No, that doesn't really say. I don't know.
Yeah, I know there's several different versions of this game, but I think whatever version you get, you're gonna like it. But my personal recommendation is the 2002 remake for the GameCube.
Agreed.
And then he has it for his honorable mentions, Ghostbusters 2009. Very good game. Forgot about that one.
One of the best adaptations. Or as far as like using an existing property and adapting it to a game, one of the best.
Of course, Monster Party for the NES. That's another game I really want to review here soon. I never got to play Monster Party, and from what I hear, it's one of those rare, really good undiscovered gems of the Nintendo era.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monster Bash, which is a pinball machine. I don't think I ever played Monster Bash. This is our first pinball game on the list.
I do like a good game of pinball.
I do, too. Have you played the Stranger Things pinball?
I didn't know that existed.
It exists, and I played it numerous times at one of the bars here on the coast.
Okay. I'll have to... There is a retro gaming store, or not store, but a retro arcade here in town now that opened a couple of months ago. I still haven't gone to it yet, but it'd be really cool if they had that.
There's a lot of cool horror-themed pinball games. Of course, you got Stranger Things now, which is a very good pinball game. You got things like The Addams Family, which is a highly sought after pinball machine. You got The Twilight Zone. Of course, Elvira had her own machine. If you're into horror and you like pinball, there's a lot of stuff you could really get into if you want. If you have money just burning a hole in your pocket and you want to collect arcade machines, that's where, if I had the money, I would have a whole like basement full of arcade, horror themed arcade pinball machines.
That'd be cool. I'd love to have a pinball machine.
Yeah, especially my dream one day is to, yeah,
my dream one day is to have in my house a working arcade cabinet of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and some kind of pinball machine.
If you could get, what would be your main pinball machine you would want to go for?
Probably Addams Family. I remember playing that one growing up, so that's kind of the one that sticks out to me.
I think I would do that. I think I would either go for the Addams Family or the Twilight Zone or the old Kiss machine.
Oh, the Kiss one's really cool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Kiss is cool. But that's for when I make millions, which, you know, we need to bump up those Patreon numbers if we want to get there.
Just swim in the money.
But that brings us to the end of this Halloween episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. And thank you guys so much for sending us those top five lists. What'd you think?
No, I love it. I always love the top five lists. You know, I've always said it makes for great discussion because you can read, you know, other people's lists and they make you think of games that you completely forgot about or that you've never heard of. And that leads to you playing them and you might end up really liking it. So it's a good way to learn about new things.
Cause I was really,
I always enjoy the top five.
You know, thinking about it this week and going over my list, you know, I do a lot of this just, you know, I don't really look up what games I have. I just kind of go what's in my head. You know, and I'm like, what have I played? Like, you know, it's a horror themed game. And like, of course, I immediately go to like Resident Evil 2 and Dead Space and stuff like that. But there's a lot of stuff you just forget about. And you're like, man, I've played a lot of horror themed games. And that's why I like to have, you know, our listeners send in lists, because it just, like you said, it just brings up stuff that you're like, holy crap, why did I not put that on my list?
Yeah, and it makes you go back and think, have you played a lot of this type of game or have you not? You know, with some other top fives, I'm like, I don't know how to narrow it down.
Yeah,
because there are so many of these types of games that I played.
But there's so many good horror-themed games out there. You shouldn't have any trouble finding a good horror-themed game to play, no matter what your system of choice is. I mean, even going back to the Atari 2600, I mean, they had, of course, that the game Haunted House, they made a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game for the Atari 2600. So that's how far back it goes for horror themed games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that brings us to the end of the episode. And thank you guys for hanging out with us. And Derek, is there anything else we need to cover before we leave here this evening?
I don't think so. I did make some new social media pages dedicated solely to my film work. It's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at D Diamond Film. So if you want to go follow me there, I'm going to be posting stuff about, you know, kind of not necessarily blogs, but I'm going to do a little bit of writing as far as like what I've learned as a filmmaker over the last two movies I've done, post some behind the scenes photos, hope to have a trailer for the feature within the next couple of weeks. So
awesome.
Maybe by the time we hit episode 300 of this show, which is in just a couple of weeks, maybe that same week I'll roll out the trailer.
3 weeks and we'll be at 300.
have you ever had a podcast at 300 episodes before?
I've never had a podcast go past 200. This was the only one.
Really? I thought the, not Pop Culture Palette, but the one with you and Wally, that didn't make it to
200? No, that one made it, I think, 85 episodes.
Oh,
Pop
wow.
Culture Palette, I think, stopped around 160, 165, somewhere around.
Okay.
172, I think, it ended, or somewhere around there. Never made it past 200. We're about to smoke past 300 on this show. It's crazy.
we'll have to pop open a drink after the show's over.
Yeah.
Have a virtual toast.
It is that time of the year. Go follow at Help the Monsters on Twitter, and that will bring you very easily take you to YouTube to watch Monsters Anonymous for Halloween. It's the perfect Halloween movie. So go follow them. Follow us at Help the Monsters on Twitter. Go follow, go like it on Face on YouTube, and share it with everybody you know, and so we can bump those numbers up. And maybe, just maybe, one of these days, we might get to make a full length or a sequel. You never know. You never know what could happen.
You mean the award-winning
yeah.
Monsters Anonymous.
The multi-award winner, the Cannes yeah. Short Film Festival winner, Monsters Anonymous. Go check it out over on YouTube. And, of course, my other podcast, Open Micers, at Open Micers, our Halloween episode is dropping the same time this episode is dropping, so go check it out. Our Halloween Spoopy Spectacular is dropping, and we talk all about how I like old man candy. So that's going to be over there at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. And is that everything? We're walking out the door.
I think we're done.
Let's get out of here. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Of course, nerdcaveretro.com takes you straight to our link tree. That'll take you to our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and of course, our merch page at ncrmerch.com, where you can go get t-shirts, mugs, bags, anything you need, coffee mugs, everything, ncrmerch.com. And of course, patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, where as little as a dollar a month helps support the show and keeps us doing those commentary tracks every single month. And if you can't, I understand times are tough. Leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. So Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.